This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Alrighty, hour number two. We're coming live for the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience here. On this Thursday around the country, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. You've got mail. Let's see, you got a little email from the Warriors here.
You don't still have an AOL account, do you?
I do. I've got a bunch, but I actually do. Wow. And the Warriors have my AOL. It's a long story. I won't bore anybody
You've
with
got
it.
Let's see. I remember when it actually used to do that.
I know.
You've got mail.
Such an exciting sound. It's like, who's this from?
You know? I know.
All right. This is from the Warriors, directly from the Warriors. Yes, at my AOL account. All right. Golden State Warriors forward Kevin Durant, who exited last night's game against the Rockets with 2:05 remaining in the third quarter due to a strained right calf, underwent an MRI exam this morning in the Bay Area. The MRI confirmed the initial diagnosis, strained right calf. And then this is the important stuff. Durant will not travel with the team for Game 6 on Friday and will remain in the Bay Area for treatment. He will be reevaluated next week, which means he's already not playing Game 7.
Yeah,
out.
That's right.
Out.
I mean, it depends on how you defined next week. Is Sunday the last day or is Sunday the first day?
Monday's the first day of the week.
I agree. What are you talking
See, about?
I mean, D-Cell's trying to like...
Well, don't let him suck you into his nonsensical
Sunday. I'm just asking the question.
What's the first day of the week? What do you think?
It's technically Sunday.
Stop.
No.
Why? Because it says that on the calendar? It's actually to the left of Monday?
Correct.
Yes. You're a clown.
But the Bible.
Monday's the first day of the
Bible,
week.
He rested on the seventh.
Exactly.
Day.
The Sabbath.
But point being, if they say he's going to get reevaluated next week and Kevin Durant says, I'm playing game seven, what's going to happen?
He's not playing game seven. He's out.
If Kevin Durant wants to play Game 7, he's probably going to play Game 7.
They would not have issued this.
True, I agree with you.
If he's not playing.
Did you guys
say whatever you want.
This is like a... Maybe I'm just seeing things wrong. Did he have a different kind of shoe on last night? For whatever reason, I was... I don't regularly notice
it. Fluctuated. They all seem to do that. He had the light ones on. They were white with blue.
But I'm talking about the heel. Like, the padding and the heel looked different.
I didn't
different.
Notice that, man. I didn't
notice it either until just now. And it looked like it had a different kind of, like, soul to it. Maybe it's just the design, but whatever.
Interesting.
Just
speculating.
You got a
little Zion gate here?
Man, I'm just saying, man.
Sneakers fault?
I mean, you look at it. They show up from the side. It looked like they have this, I don't know, it's a weird-looking shoe.
Boy, that is a weird look back. And again, we had the visual. Great job on the TV side. You could tell right here, he doesn't know what is wrong with him right there.
No.
That is really odd.
Yeah. Blessing for him and for the Warriors. It was not the Achilles.
Well, really a blessing for me.
Yes.
I mean, if you want to really cut to the chase here, because it's going to be a Nick, and that's Could you imagine?
No.
I can't even get into that. I mean, it's obviously not true based on the MRI. So he will not play game six. And if there is a game seven, he will not play. Whether you think the week starts Sunday or Monday, I don't care. He's not playing. Tyronn Lue and the Lakers and the Rambuses. And let's start here. The fact that the Lakers lowballed. And I know it aligns with the remaining aspect of LeBron James' contract.
Yep.
I get that. But that's so overtly disrespectful. I don't think Ty Lue's a great coach, but he's certainly good.
He's a championship winning
and
coach.
And he's got a championship on his resume. So to give him 3 years is a slap in the face embarrassment. And then to reportedly insist that Jason Kidd, who you know within 1 week of on the job, would be angling for Tyronn Lue's job, is the height of it's anarchy.
Yeah.
They're a disaster.
It's almost like they're hiring his replacement at the same time they hire him. Because that's what it looks like to me.
Yes.
Right? And there's so much speculation about the relationship that Jason Kidd has with this Lakers team, even though there really isn't one. But they like him a lot, and they think that his acumen as a guard is going to translate into a guard league, and he's learned from his mistakes, and it's just unfair at the end of the day to Ty Lue. If you're going to hire him, even if you are going to hire him for 3 years, and that's a negotiation. Yeah, you want to do it for 3 years, and then pay me $10 million a year or $9 million a year as opposed to the $6 million that you offered. Right? Get it close to what that five-year guarantee would actually look like. That's one thing. But it is the ultimate disrespect to say, hey, Ty Lue, we want you, but we're not going to let you pick your staff. Then why hire him in the first place? Right? It's almost counterintuitive, and it doesn't make a lot of sense. It also feels to me, BT, like it's a negotiation to placate LeBron James. LeBron has obviously had success with Ty Lue. They have a really good relationship still. You get guys like Kevin Love. Supporting this. Anyone's decision to hire Ty Lue. They say they love him because they brought him a championship. But it feels like the Lakers are going through the motions with Ty Lue just to make LeBron feel good or feel included or relevant in this conversation.
I agree with a lot of what you said. I just wouldn't say it appears that they're going through the motions because they actually did offer him a contract. Now, if you want to say, offered him the contract knowing he would turn it down.
Yes,
and
that's
I'm not
what
sure
it feels.
That's part of your,
I mean,
okay.
It's standard. Standard 5 years. It is what it is.
Yeah.
The thing that varies is, how much are you going to get for the 5 years? We're going to pay you 20, or we're going to pay you 30 for 5 years?
Yeah, five or six. I mean, Monty Williams smartly bypassed this job and went for the Phoenix Suns, who have a history of recycling coaches as much as anybody this side of the Knicks in the entire NBA. Monty Williams decided to willingly say no to the Lakers. Tyronn Lue just said stick it. I don't know what they do at this point. And anytime you try to make a hire and the motivation for the hire is to try to placate an aging star.
Yeah.
That is just a horrendous recipe.
Yeah, but isn't it necessary here
for
the Lakers?
I don't think so. I would do the exact opposite. So first of all, I would trade LeBron. And we've said this. I know that's starting to get a lot of people saying that now.
Yeah.
You and I had that discussion on this show about you. Look it up on YouTube. It's there. You and I talked about trading LeBron James months ago. Months ago.
Especially after it started to go awry.
Months ago.
The perception, internal perception from his teammates to him.
Months ago.
Yeah, agreed.
And, the Lakers, they're in a no-win spot. Because if you hire somebody solely for LeBron, you alienate what remains of the team.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we already know that those package of players aren't good enough to get Anthony Davis, so it's not like they're going to be gone, and you don't have to worry about the residue from that hire
and
to placate LeBron.
And they're hurt, by the way.
Of course they are, although not that hurt, because Lonzo was on the
shop.
That's
a good point.
And I don't know what Ingram thinks. I don't know what the rest of them think.
No, I'm talking about physically hurt.
Oh, true.
Physically beat up.
Yeah,
so what are you getting for them?
Ingram's shoulders, that's hard to really talk about because it's just unknown.
I agree.
You talk about like stents
but
and
arteries. It doesn't sound like it's an easy fix.
No, it's usually not. So we hope he's okay. And it's not a conventional fix.
No.
For sure. We hope everybody's okay, but it's not a conventional fix. Take, I don't know, do they call Rick Pitino? What do they do? Really, who are they calling? Who's coaching the Lakers next year?
Yeah, so Frank Vogel is...
Frank Vogel. LeBron wouldn't respect him.
Is being interviewed right now, and I agree with you.
Can't
I agree with
Frank.
You.
2 years ago, that may have worked.
Give me your opinion on this. And yep. We had this mini conversation in one of our breaks. I saw a report, and it wasn't saying that the Lakers were going to do this.
Okay.
But if they did do this, then this person should run for the hills and not even entertain it.
All right.
Becky Hammon, who has been an assistant with the San Antonio Spurs.
Yep.
She was a head coach in the G League or one of the
she ran the Summer League.
The Summer League.
Yes,
that's what
ran
it was.
The Summer League.
She ran the Summer
Great
League.
Great basketball mind.
Great basketball mind. Had success in that Summer League. Has great respect in the Spurs organization.
Yep.
Is that even an
option?
You
can't make her the hire. You can't make her the hire. I mean,
talk about the problem is LeBron again. I think anyone, regardless of gender here, Becky Hammon, at some point, I think we'll get a shot to be a head coach.
I'd love to see you get one this summer.
It can't be with the
Lakers, not where they are right now.
But anyone who doesn't have a high level of existing success.
Correct.
can't come be this.
I agree.
Coach,
you have to
Lakers.
Be able to
and that,
sift
and just think
through.
About how limiting that is to the pool.
Yeah, which is now why you're going to start getting B level. You're lucky you get B level. Mike Woodson's actually a good coach, although I don't know how much that would, you know, if that would really be met with great enthusiasm mm-hmm. from LeBron. But I know Mike Woodson is a good coach. I think he's kind of mispositioned. Lionel Hollins? All right, good coach, too. You're going to bring in Lionel Hollins to coach LeBron? I mean, you got I mean,
the problem is it's the locker room is it's weird, right? Because it's this superstar, the best player on the planet moniker in LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
But then all these other young kids you got to develop. It's just it's weird. This is why LeBron, when he came to Cleveland, well, actually, when he to start, when he was in Miami, and then when he came back to Cleveland, you had to have the veterans. You had to, right? Because they were closer to that to coachable like LeBron. Then, all right, kids, we got to teach you how to do this, and this is what you got to do on a you know on this specific scheme. We're gonna call it, and you know, in the snap of a finger, and you got to be able to snap into it,
mm-hmm.
right? It's a different level of coaching. And you see it in the NBA. You see it with teams that just, they're struggling to win games because they're learning. The Lakers have both. And that's a hard
and they have expectations, which is
right.
The other thing. I mean, it's one thing to have a player that is, you know, maybe not LeBron, but like a Paul George or a Carmelo a couple of years ago with the Knicks, not at the end, but kind of toward the end, where you have some expectations, not title expectations, but some, and then you kind of balance like the young draft picks and you try to make it work, and it's a different dynamic. But the Lakers' dynamic is entirely different because you've got a core of young players who need discipline, who need repetition.
Yep.
You've got the whole LeBron dynamic, which is a complete dynamic unlike anything we've ever seen before in the NBA. Then you've got the expectations of a championship run because of the Lakers / LeBron's presence. Listen, there's only one hire at this point that I would say is a good hire. There's only one. I'll tell you who it is coming up next. There's one. There's a good one. And they could save face, and I've not heard his name yet. And this is the guy they need to hire. We'll get that. We'll get the calls as well. 855-212-4227. Tiki and Tierney Show, Lakers. Wow. CBS Sports Radio. Okay, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. All right, news, quick way to save money. Just switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. On Twitter, Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney, YouTube, Apple iTunes, CBSSportsRadio.com, all different ways to get the show, our YouTube channel. Okay, so we'll get some more of these calls. We've got Football at the 40s coming up next. Jason Day, next hour, Masher, good guy too. Big Jason Day fan. Man of the people.
Yeah,
you know he seems like blue-collar guy. Really up, humble beginnings.
Grew up tough.
Yeah, his dad wasn't around. They didn't have a lot of money. His mom really bent over backwards to put him in a position to pursue his dream.
Which is kind of odd, man, because golf is a sport that's you usually think of affluence or at least opportunity of close to affluence in order to just get started.
No
in
question
it.
About so. It. He defies that script that most golfers come from. I mean, mm-hmm. It pretty much is that way. The PGA Championship is around the corner next week, about 30-something miles from here at beautiful Bethpage, which is a beast. But if you don't know much about Bethpage, it is a course that is going to eat up these golfers. I think it's going to have more of a U.S. Open feel in terms of score than a PGA Championship feel. But Jason Day will join us coming up next hour. All right, here's the guy that the Lakers should hire.
Go ahead.
And let me just preface it with this. To hire the coach at this point, you've got a couple of things to me are non-negotiable, all right, because I am still, obviously, because I said it 6 months ago, really amenable to trading LeBron James. So I'm answering this through that mindset.
Okay.
But I'm not looking to give him away. I'm trying to, like, if I'm running the Lakers, I want to bring in somebody that will be able to coexist and function with LeBron, meaning LeBron respects him.
Yep.
And also, midstream, if I've got to do an abrupt about face and trade him, will then be in a position to help the young players develop, all right? So he's got to have that profile, the cachet, the track record of success with young players,
yep,
and somebody who's won. And that's Mark Jackson. It's Mark Jackson.
Yeah, you're right. And the example
and
the reason that it makes sense is because Mark Jackson did exactly that with the Golden State Warriors.
Correct.
And people forget about it because Steve Kerr won the championship.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark Jackson has kind of fallen to the side of history for his import with that young, because they were young. This was Steph when he was young.
Oh, yeah. I was living there when this was going on.
This is Clay when he was young.
That's right. Draymond was there when I was living there.
He was a knucklehead, played football at Michigan State as well. His basketball. But you know what I mean? He was raw.
Monte Ellis was still on the team when I lived there. They had to sort through that stuff.
You're
there was actually a faction of fans who thought maybe this was ridiculous, but maybe they should have traded Steph rather than Monte Ellis.
Why isn't Mark Jackson being mentioned?
Teak, the only thing I can, I don't know how to be more real than this. The only thing I can think of is that he is very in your face about religion. Hmm. He is. And not everybody wants to hear it. And there's also some people who believe that it's a little disingenuous what he puts out there. I would never say that because I don't know him like that at all. Like that, I can't tell you if that, I'm going to take a man at his word. If he says he's a man of God, I'm going to certainly believe him. But there was a video, it was like a couple of years ago.
He
was on the street corner in L.A.
I remember this.
It was a little bit of a bizarre look. He's a little bit, he's got an ego. Most successful people do, so that's not that big of an issue. I know he rubbed ownership the wrong way in Golden State. That I certainly know. But Mark Jackson's basketball brain is as fertile as anybody that I've come across in the last 40 years.
Yeah, but
he just is.
But the challenge was,
and he's cool, and he resonates with young kids, even though he's not young.
Agreed. But the challenge was, at least at Golden State, that he wasn't a great in-game coach.
No, he was good. He wasn't great. Malone did a lot. He was good. And there's also something to be said for, you know, some people actually, get better the second time they do something. I mean, there's something to be said for that.
Yeah, you're right.
And I'd really like to see Mark Jackson get a chance to see what he learned and apply that, the good, and then take the bad and the mistakes and fix that and apply that.
Yeah, you're right.
You know?
Coach Belichick was horrendous.
Yeah.
Cleveland.
Although he started getting it. Horrendous is not the right description. But he was actually, that's not accurate. That's not true. He was not horrendous. Mike, look up Belichick's record with the Browns if you can. He was not horrendous with the Browns. Hmm. Now, he was going in the right direction, actually. Look it up.
But the Browns are the Browns. And could the Browns have been the Patriots? If they had just waited. Think about that.
No, because they didn't have the quarterback.
Neither did the Patriots.
Yeah, I mean, if Mo Lewis doesn't hurt True Blood, so Belichick is who the hell knows? I don't know. What was his record with the Browns, Mike? I know it wasn't that bad.
In 5 years, he was above 500 once.
Yeah,
he finished 11-5. Otherwise, 6-10, 7-9, 7-9, 5-11.
It's not that bad.
So he was actually going
not horrible
in the opposite direction.
Yeah,
going down at the end.
What about Tom Thibodeau, BT?
I don't like him for L.A.
The only reason I ask is because LeBron, at least LeBron's people, I don't think LeBron said this himself, LeBron's people
have intimated that they want him as the assistant,
which
is even more reason why I wouldn't do it. I think you have to make this move independent of what LeBron wants. Mm. That's part of the, you have to do that. All right. And I don't think he wants Frank Vogel. I don't think, which, by the way, Frank's a good coach. I don't think you can't shove somebody down his throat, to be fair.
Well, he didn't want David Blatt, remember, back in Cleveland, but look how that worked out.
Yeah, but David Blatt was hired before LeBron decided to come back home. He was hired for a rebuild.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean? Let's go to, how about Darren, who is in Nebraska? And Darren is on Tiki and Tierney. What up, Darren? How you doing today?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good,
well, I called in a couple of months ago with who would you have to take the last shot with, Big Shot Rob. So you know I'm already a Lakers fan.
Yep.
And I'm just kind of reiterating, I guess, what Tierney already said. I was calling in to ask, why is nobody bringing up Mark Jackson? He played at a high level, won Rookie of the Year for the Knicks, a point guard. He can help out Lonzo. And nobody's talking about him.
Yeah.
So I wanted to get your guys' thoughts. But,
well, you heard mine. Good, Teak.
Tierney already beat me to it, I guess.
Thanks, Darren. Appreciate the call, buddy.
And there becomes this, like,
stigma.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's been
and even
on the market long enough where there's, like, now people say, why?
So
what's up with that?
Even if Lakers ownership or whoever, the Suns ownership or whoever has an opening, has zero interactions, relationship, had no discussions, etc., with Mark Jackson, it's like, well, something must be wrong because nobody else has done it.
Well, then you have to vet him properly and trust what you get and back, your own intel, and make a decision like a grown adult.
So as crazy as it sounds, because Mark Jackson had success with the Golden State Warriors.
I was there. I saw it with my own eyes.
It wasn't like he was fired for incompetence.
Nah, the complete opposite.
Right? So he had success.
Yep.
He's never gotten another... maybe some sniffs.
Not real strong ones.
Exactly.
The Knicks, a lot of people thought maybe the Knicks, they went to Fisher. The Bucks went to Jason Kidd.
So the only thing you can only thing you can deduce is that people are being, or ownership, or they're being lazy and not actually doing the work on Mark Jackson, right? So they're just taking somebody else's word for it, which is never, never a good thing. So I just want to back up real quick, GT. You mentioned you can't go the direction that that LeBron wants. You got to go away from it. The reason that I think that's smart is because that's exactly what happened with David Blatt. That's why I brought it up. David Blatt wasn't hired because of LeBron James. David Blatt was hired to rebuild, right? They have a young team. You got to figure out what the hell to do with Kyrie. He's a hell of a player, but we can't win more than 24 games.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Let's bring in David Blatt. Oh, LeBron comes.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron and David Blatt don't get along from maybe week one. I was going to say day one, but
he didn't respect him.
That's being too harsh. I'll say week one.
He didn't respect him from day one. That's for sure.
He didn't want him. Uh-huh. But they went to the NBA Finals, BT, right? And they had success into the next season until he was dismissed and Ty Lue ascended to the role, and they obviously won a championship. So just because LeBron isn't on board doesn't mean it's not going to work.
Agreed.
Because I think LeBron is also driven to be a champion. And so even if it doesn't, if it's a little bit of a square peg going into that round hole, he's going to chip away as much as he can. Might not work, mm-hmm. right? Because it didn't work with Luke Walton. But he's going to chip away as much as he can at those edges of those squares until it gets as round as it can get and try to make it
work a little bit.
Yeah, make it work. And then look, let's face it, before he got hurt, that's what was happening.
I know.
Right?
I know.
Luke Walton wasn't his type of coach. You could tell. Luke was there also, just like David Blatt, to help these young kids develop into something. He didn't start to make progress. LeBron upsets the apple cart of that a little bit, but LeBron chipped away at it a little bit. They got up to, they got pretty high in the Western Conference standings before he got hurt.
They were the 4 seed when he got hurt on Christmas Day.
Exactly. So, you don't have to placate LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
So, as much as that narrative is out there, you got to get somebody who's with, you don't.
Yeah. I mean,
you don't.
What's his alternative? What's LeBron going to do? Say, I'm not going to play?
Yeah.
All right, great. You've got about 2 or 3 prime years left. Do you want to sit out? Good. Sit out.
I quit. I'm going to go make movies.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to go make movies.
Yeah, I mean, where's his leverage?
He doesn't have it.
I think he's got a ton anymore.
This is the first time in his career he doesn't have leverage, BT.
Yeah, and it's actually pretty refreshing to see because he's been humbled.
Yeah.
He really has been.
Agreed.
Free agents don't want to play with him. And at least the prime ones. Mm-hmm. Listen, if you're going to get overpaid out of desperation, yeah, guys, if Tobias Harris is going to get a max from the Lakers, I'm sure Tobias Harris will fit nicely with LeBron. Oh, I can't wait to play with LeBron. He'll say the right things at the press conference, but
that would actually be good for that. That would be a good acquisition.
Not for the max, it wouldn't be, because then it would suck out their cap. He's not a max player, Tobias Harris.
It'd be good for short-term.
Yeah, if you have some other pieces around them. I mean, Tobias Harris is a good player. I'm not saying he's not good.
He can shoot.
He could definitely shoot. But I think that I'd like to think that whomever they bring in, that LeBron has enough self-awareness that he can step back from the self-congratulations and the self-platitudes and, propping himself up on social media just enough for 1 minute to look in the mirror and say to himself, and not to tell us this, but something like an internal check. All right, man, I've got to, even if I have to fake it, whoever this next coach is, I got to make it seem like it's working.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've got to change this narrative that's kind of swallowing me up a little bit. And I'd have to think that he would do that, and he would play ball and try to play nice. Hey, I would think.
John Gruden's most eloquently stated and perfectly stated quote. Gentlemen, I need some genuine enthusiasm. If you ain't got it, blank and fake it.
Yeah, but it's hard to fake genuine enthusiasm, especially when you get all that money. You don't have to fake anything. I hear you. All right, 855-212-4227. Axe update. What up, Ack? How are you today?
How are you?
Rich Ackerman, everybody. Big Ack.
I was waiting for something else.
And that's it. I'm like, just looking at you. Bring you on stage. I'm ready to go.
It's like, you know, it's like I'm waiting for that first pitch to come in.
What's going on baseball today? Tell me independent of the update.
What would you like to
know? Anything happening? Like anything really interesting?
Yeah, a lot of home runs today.
Okay.
So far.
All right. Anybody with multiple home run games?
Yes.
Who?
The immortal Tommy La Stella.
Tommy La Stella?
And Jordan Luplo.
Who? Who's that guy? I don't even know who that is.
Of the Indians. He had six coming into this season. He's got two today.
Wow.
In the previous two seasons.
All right.
Yeah, that's a good tip.
He's no Dwayne Kuiper, though. Yes.
And the 2,000th career RBI for Albert Pujols.
We said that. And who are the other four? Do you know this off the top of your head?
Aaron and A-Rod. I got it.
Aaron and A-Rod. And who's the third one's really tough. Come on. You got to get this.
I was going to say Willie Mays.
Not Willie Mays. I'll give you a hint. Late 1800s.
Late
1800s. Real hint. I mean, that's a good hint.
Late
1800s. It's a great hint.
Late 1800s.
Oh, come on, man. So. Played for Chicago for most of those years. Played from about 1870-something until about 1890-something.
Abner doubled it. No.
Cap Anson.
Cap Anson.
That's a tough one. Cap Anson's a tough name to pull.
So, yeah.
Which you didn't.
Get
the update from Ack, and we'll see what's happening on the diamond. We'll come back. We have football at the 40s after that. Rich Ackerman, everybody. Okay, it's golf's next major coming up. The world's best eye, the prestigious Wanamaker Trophy, and Tiger shoots for a back-to-back majors. Tiger who? Tiger Woo. Getting ready for number 16th overall. Maybe if he bags it, that'll be on the resume. Any way you cut it, all the best will be vying for the PGA title. It's the PGA Championship next weekend on CBS. And to help tee it up, we'll talk with Jason Day a little later in the show. Third hour coming up about 40 minutes from now on Tiki and Tierney. He won the 2015 PGA Championship and really one of the good guys on tour. Long. He's got some flair. Mm-hmm. He plays aggressively. He's just very easy to root for.
Yeah,
agreed. Really is. So I'm looking forward to having him on the show. We'll have a little fun with that. That is at Bethpage, which is a beast of a course. You know, obviously, it's back in the
rotation.
You've been
out there, right?
I played it once. I told you I played it once. Just played it once. Yep.
Haven't been back since?
No. I played it once. And, you know, it's just, you know, it's not to bore everybody with the logistics of New York travel, but Long Island's hard to get to, man. It's just hard to get to.
Agreed.
You know, even if you live in Manhattan, it's a 7-8 hour day.
There was a great course.
All encompassing.
That I got a summer guest membership. I was like 24 years old.
Okay.
And living on the Upper East Side.
Okay.
So I'm as close west or close east.
Okay.
As you can be.
You're touching the river.
I'm right there.
Yeah.
Right? So to get to Long Island should be easy.
Pretty easy.
Tunnel's
yeah.
right there.
Yeah.
10 blocks away. There's a course called Deepdale.
Never even heard of that one.
It's private club, but I got a summer membership by just a friend of a friend who's like, yeah, you want to get a summer membership? It won't cost you anything. You can come out whenever you want.
Yeah, it's Tiki. Come on out. Tiki Barber.
Gorgeous. I went out 2 weeks later. So I had this all summer.
Uh-huh.
Gorgeous, right?
Yeah.
Nobody's out there. There's no divot marks right? And on the green. There's no like chunk mark. There's nothing. It's just gorgeous, right?
Yep.
It took me 2 hours and 10 minutes to go.
18?
No.
Oh.
No, well, yeah, to play the course, it took less than 3 hours.
Okay. Because
there's nobody on it.
Okay.
It took me 2 hours and like 10 minutes.
Yeah, you can't mess around
to
with
go
nonsense.
40 miles.
That's a joke.
That was the only time I went.
And you can't justify. if you're single,
right.
Here's the thing.
And I had a baby, so it was.
I was always going to say.
Yeah, had a baby a couple, you know.
You were 24.
I was 20.
And AJ was just born a little bit.
I think I was 25. It must have been 25 because AJ was just born.
Okay.
So it was. I went once.
No, that's the problem. I mean, if you're going to, and listen, some wives are cool. And, you know, if that's your outlet. Now, you're not going to be going fishing and golfing and playing poker.
Yeah,
I mean, you've
right.
got to let,
pick
know,
one.
You got to pick one. And Jen knows I like to play golf, and she's great with it, thank God. But, like, if you're going to play golf and you have kids, the days of playing golf courses that are not near your house, those come to an end pretty quick because you cannot waste an hour and 5 minutes going there, an hour and 30 coming back, get there 45 minutes to warm up, have a beer, 8 to 9 hours.
You're right.
So to answer your question, I love Bethpage. I played there once. I told the story on the air a couple times, but it's just hard to get to.
Yeah.
Same with Shinnecock, which is fully private. Played that once. But, I mean, Long Island golf is gorgeous, but it's all the way out there.
Yeah, really you better live and work out there.
Yeah, exactly. All right, football at the 40s, TK. Here we go, buddy.
40-yard kick, right hash mark.
40 yards on the return.
A 40-yard touchdown.
40 yards.
You love football. We love football. so we give you football every day. It's Football at the 40 with Kiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, this is an interesting revelation here. Sean McVay, head coach of the Rams, with a take about the Super Bowl. Sometimes, maybe in a moment of real honesty, you'll hear a player say, well, we overlooked a team, or maybe, I don't even really think a coach would say that, but I mean, maybe occasionally that might drip out. What you really don't hear too often is, you know, boy, I was too diligent in my preparation. We wanted it too much. We were just too in tune with the process. That's pretty much what Sean McVay is saying. Quote, you can watch so much film that you lose perspective, end quote. This is part of a long-ranging piece with SI as he explained what happened in the Super Bowl against the Pats. You buying that? Can you be too prepared?
Well, I don't think that's why they lost. I think they
Pretty much what he's saying, though.
But I think they got out-game-planned by Bill Belichick, who played a very, very slowed-down, let's call it boring, scheme in order to keep this explosive Rams offense off the field. And let's also not forget, Todd Gurley was a shell of who he was at the end of the, end of the season. And I like Jared Goff. I know that Sean McVay turned him into a Pro Bowl quality player. But this team went as Todd Gurley went. And when he's ripping off 40, 50-yard runs or making big catches out of the backfield, it made it a whole lot easier for Jared Goff to throw the ball downfield on play action. Let's also not forget that one of their big, you know, tertiary receiving threats.
Tertiary.
Cooper
Love
Kupp.
That word. I'm just a big fan of the word.
I agree.
I like tertiary.
Agreed. Cooper Kupp wasn't available.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand being overprepared because you're like, they did this in week two or week three. We got to find a way to defeat that, even though they never showed it again.
Uh-huh.
It's overthinking it. But I think they just went up against a better team with a better scheme.
Here's the quote. In the back of my mind, when making the Super Bowl game plan back in L.A., I operated knowing I had another week, said Sean McVay.
I hate that extra week, by the way.
You did.
I hate it. I hated it when I was playing. I hate it now.
Didn't help you guys.
No.
Maybe if you had three more weeks,
I gotta
help you.
No. If it would have been 1 week, BT,
what?
The Ravens were banged up.
I don't remember. Were they banged up?
They were banged up after their AFC Championship game against the Raiders, I believe.
Ray Lewis wasn't hurt, though.
He had a nick. Everybody had nicks on that team.
Really?
That 2 weeks gave them a chance to get right, and they took it out on us.
I don't blame you. Okay, I can see a little.
I think it was the first year that they went back to it, because it was 2 weeks, and they went back to 1 week, and then in Super Bowl 35.
It was a conspiracy to keep Tiki without a ring.
Yeah, it was.
The quote goes on, the urgency to completely finalize the game plan wasn't quite there, and that led me to watching so much film that you almost water down your thought process. Interesting. And I respect him for saying that.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's what they always say. You got to keep your process.
Become mechanical otherwise, right?
Well, keep your process. If it takes you 3 days to make your game plan, do it in 3 days. Mm. Right?
Don't deviate from the process.
All right.
All right, Seattle with an addition. Defensive end Zeke Ansah says, couldn't miss the first month of the season. Good player. Been around a little bit now. He's still recovering from shoulder surgery that is expected to keep him out of training camp or maybe longer. Some sources believe that he could miss the first month of the season.
Yeah, no, the Seattle Seahawks are completely overhauling their team from some of these old heads. Doug Baldwin, who we thought was going to retire, decided not to because he would have had to give back, I think, about $5 million of a signing bonus, and they've just released him. They also just released Ziggy Ansah. Cam Chancellor. They just signed Ziggy Ansah here. So they're changing over this team a little bit, little by little, to obviously compensate for Russ's big contract. They got to get some quality players. Ziggy was one of those guys who had great success early, got banged around, and so as a result became a second, like, window free agent signing.
Mm-hmm.
So he's in the second window. I think it's a good signing by Seattle.
Let's quantify what he's done last couple of years. This from Pro Football Focus. They tweeted this. Aside from an injury-shortened year in 2018, he has put forth double-digit totals in both pressures and defensive stops in each year of his career. Translation, the man's healthy, the man's good. Sad story, but an incredible gesture by Zeke Elliott. Mm-hmm. Dallas Cowboys running back Zeke Elliott's going to pay for the funeral, at least he offered to. I don't know if they accept it. I would imagine they might. I don't know. But in Grapevine, Texas, I know exactly where that is, not far from where my in-laws are. The The funeral, the expenses of Jalen McKenzie, who's an eighth-grade player, incredibly promising, already had a few scholarship offers, was killed by a stray bullet as he left a party near St. Louis on Saturday night. St. Louis is I believe it's East St. Louis. There's some tough spots in St. Louis, and this young man happened to be at the absolute worst place at the wrong time, got hit with a bullet, and his life is over. And
yeah.
I'm not sure what you add to that except.
Not much. You just commend the gesture by Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yep, no doubt. All right, T, how about this? The Pats reportedly might be reaching into their past to replace Rob Gronkowski. You ready? We've had him on the show a couple times. How about tight end Benjamin Watson? Whenever Benjamin Watson decides to retire, Benjamin Watson is going to put on a fat suit and get at a nice cushy table and get inside of a studio and start talking football for a living. He was going to retire, but now a lot of teams are kicking the tires. Kansas City, the Bills, the Niners. The retirement obviously didn't last long. Sublime locker room guy. Still has good hands. Can block as well. He's been around forever. Why not? Bring him back.
I mean, look, he's in his 15th year, going to go on his 15th year. His best days are clearly behind him, BT, but he can still get it done. You saw him make some a couple of big catches for the Saints last year. The biggest reason this is happening is that the New England Patriots did not in any way address their tight end void with Rob Gronkowski's retirement in the draft or free agency. And so there were some guys available there. They didn't take them. Not sure why, but there's just a void. They need a veteran presence at tight end. Benjamin Watson gives them that.
A little excerpt from our buddy Peter King's column on Monday drew a pretty interesting reaction. Mm-hmm. I'm going to read, and then we can react. This is directly from Peter King's column. I think Joe Theismann even seeming to suggest Dwayne Haskins had to kiss his ring before being rewarded with the number 7 jersey in Washington is really weird and a little bit mindful of the emperor with no clothes, wrote Peter King. Would anyone think that a man with fewer passing yards than Steve Grogan and Jim Harbaugh, fewer touchdowns than Earl Morrill and John Kitna, with a lower career rating than Kyle Orton and Dave Craig, should have his number retired? He goes on and suggests this, I reread that, but it's silly to think he was an all-timer, the kind of player whose number should never be worn again. Let me have first crack at this.
Go ahead.
I really like Peter King.
Yeah.
I think Peter King's really wrong here.
I think you're right.
I don't know about their relationship, but it seems that there's a personal disconnect there.
It's definitely.
That seemed incredibly personal. As a true sports fan, my opinion, my philosophy or my thought on retired numbers, not for the league but for the teams, team specific. If it's good for the team and it's good for the fan base,
yeah,
it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. I think Peter King is really off base with this.
He is, because the era that Joe Theismann played in, it wasn't about putting up these numbers that he's referring to. And he's making stat comparison after stat comparison after stat comparison. You used to not judge quarterbacks based on their stats. You judge quarterbacks based on whether or not they won or they lost. And Joe Theismann, whether it was him or John Riggins's doing, won a Super Bowl for the Washington Redskins. And look, growing up a Redskins fan, I know this. I'm intimate to it. Who's the best quarterback in the history of the Washington Redskins? Probably Sonny Jurgensen.
Colt McCoy.
But think about it. Seriously. You throw out those names, Joe Theismann's right there.
Yeah, well, Sonny's number one cleared away.
Agreed.
But
I'm Joe's talking about who
in the vicinity.
Who else?
Yeah.
Right?
No, I'm with you.
And so,
I'm on the same page.
I like Peter King's thoughts. I think he's off base here because Joe Theismann is well thought of and really respected in the Washington Redskins organization. So there's a reason that they haven't given his number.
Yeah, exactly.
To anyone in, what is that, 30 years?
30 years.
So,
sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree with you.
That was Football at the 40 with Kiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
You know, and the one number that, and of course it wouldn't fit his narrative there, you know, the angle of the story, but he won 30 more games than he lost. I mean, that's a lot. And that's not, you know, the NBA where you play 82 times. You play 16 games.
He's
you have
winner.
30 more wins.
He's a winner.
Then you have losses in the NFL as a starting quarterback. Again, that doesn't get you into Canton.
Mm-mm.
But if you have reverence within and cachet within the fan base and you were a leader and you won a championship, come on. I mean, you know where we stand. We love Peter. We think he's off base there. Oh, good. Sounds a little personal, though.
It does. I kind of want to get to the bottom of it.
And Joe's got a monster ego.
Of course he does.
As big of as anybody we know.
Yeah, but the emperor has no clothes? I mean, that's wrong. It's really the emperor has new clothes.
You're not going to start getting nerdy on me now. Are you going to start correcting him out with that? Are you?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.